We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
Let's go to Joshua. I know you're probably already in Luke 11. Stay there. But let's go to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. And I just want to kind of preface the message that I have for tonight with Joshua 1, 8. Very familiar verse. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." How many of you are interested in good success and being prosperous? Amen? Anybody? All right, I came to the right church tonight. Because, to be honest, that's what I'm interested in. Look, I love Jesus. I love the presence of God. I love worshiping, but I love the fact that we don't just do this out of religious obligation and we get nothing for it. When you get in this book and you meditate in this book and you do according to all that is written in it and you're meditating in it day and night and it's coming out of your mouth, God says that you will make your way prosperous. God wants you to have good success. And God wants you to be prosperous. What kind of moron Christian would have a problem with that? But they're out there. They're out there in abundance, surprisingly. It's beyond my comprehension, anybody that would argue that fact. That why would you want to have a poverty God? I mean, if you want poverty, you can pick any one of the 200 million gods in India that they worship. Or any other religion that teaches this garbage. But Christianity, like, it says it right here. It says it right here. This book of the law, this word, this Bible, the God's word is given to us so that we can get it in us, so that we can begin to speak it out. And as we do that, God says that he will give us good success and make our way prosperous, that we will make our way prosperous and we will have good success. So, you know, that's why we're going through the word, and that's why I put such an emphasis on the word, because, you know what, as much as I love every one of you, if I were to just, you know, hug you all tonight and pray a prayer over you, like, and maybe even lay hands on you and you fall down on the floor and you cry and, you know, like, have a good time, unless you do this verse, that stuff's all well and good. But unless you do this, get in the word, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all that according to all that is written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. That's where people get confused. They think, well, I came to the church, I answered an altar call, I accepted Jesus, I attend church on Sunday, I'm on the worship team, I'm this, I'm that, you know, I say amen, hallelujah. But my life has not seemed to have changed. Because unless you get in this book and get this book coming out of your mouth, you will not have good success and you will not make your way prosperous. It's as simple as that. So, you know, this week I sent out the confessions that I talked, I mean, I know probably the majority of you guys already had them. I'd been trying to send them to everyone that asked, but I kind of wanted to wait a little time from the time that I had preached on confession. I've actually had this thing ready to go for like at least a month or two, but I wanted to wait a little while so that I could bring back up confession, because like confessions for most people are kind of like my workout plan. I get all excited about working out, and I'm going to, you know, drop 10 pounds, I get my running shoes on, and I hit the road, and I'm running, and I'm good for about 2 weeks, and then, you know, something happens, and I miss a day, and then the next day, it's kind of like, well, you know, I missed yesterday, and so you missed that day, and then, you know, 2 weeks later, you're still thinking, like, I need to get back running, and then it's a year gone by, and, you know, like, Look, if exercising had anything to do with spiritual salvation, my soul would be in jeopardy. But thank the Bible says that physical exercise profits a little. So it does profit, but you know, like if it comes down to it and it's me between me spending time in the Word or me like jogging, you know, ultimately I'm gonna pick the Word because you know that's where good success comes from. I'm not taken away from exercising. I'm still like every morning I'm planning to get back out there and start running. But confession is no different. And, you know, I'm not talking about confession as in telling somebody your sins. I'm talking about confession as in speaking God's word. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it eat the fruit thereof. Proverbs 21:18. So let me ask you, I preached on confession for probably about 2 months, starting in April. I think I preached May, going into June, talking about confession. And I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands here, but are you doing the confessions? You know, it's like going to the gym. It's like going on a diet. It's like, you know, studying a foreign language. Everybody hears about it and commits to doing it, but it doesn't actually do you any good to get all excited about it, shout amen, praise the Lord, and then not actually do it. So if you have fallen off of that, if you've fallen away from doing confessions, now nobody has an excuse. If you're on our email list, you have the confessions, you can go to, Jordan, what's the link? riverrochester.com/affirmations. Biblical affirmations. You can go on and you can, there's a link at the bottom of the website for affirmations. Just so you know, you guys have to have this word coming out of your mouth. Why am I talking about this? Because I want you to have good success and I want you to make your way prosperous. Amen? It's not like a religious obligation where if you don't do this, you're not going to heaven. That has nothing to do with it. This is, I want you to be successful. I want you to be prosperous. And I don't know about you, but when I do my confessions, I try to do them every day. Every now and then I miss it. But I pretty much do them most days. It like changes my whole day. It changes my mindset. Especially the best thing to do is when you wake up in the morning and you go through that and you're confessing that you're the head and not the tail, you're above and not beneath, and you're blessed going in, you're blessed going out, you're redeemed from the curse. You just start going through that and you go into your day with a brand new mindset, no matter what anybody said to you the day before, no matter what situations are looking like, it just sets the tone for the day. So please, for your own sake, if you don't like my confessions that I made for you all, make your own, but do them. Get the word of God in you and coming out of your mouth on a daily basis. Amen? All right, now for tonight's message. That was all my introduction, which really didn't have much to do with this message, but we're in Luke chapter 11. We left off last time that I ministered on this, I think 2 Wednesdays ago. We finished verse 13, so we'll pick up in verse 14. It says, "And he was casting out a demon, and it was mute. So it was, when the demon had gone out, that the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled." You know, I think that maybe more often than not, there's actually a demonic presence or power that's causing people's problems. And the reason that I don't like to dwell too much on there is because there's too many religious morons out there that go around like doing all kinds of stupid stuff when it comes to demons. Like, they want to start a whole deliverance ministry. Everyone gets their own trash bag and everyone pukes up their demon at the end of the service, whatever. And like, so I don't like to put a lot of emphasis on that. But if you actually go through and you read through the Gospels and you read through the book of Acts, you'll see that there's a lot of times where people had demonic influence that was causing them to be sick, that was causing them to struggle, you know, and so, but it, even here, this one verse, it says it so simply, as he was casting out a demon and it was mute, so it was when the demon had gone out that the mute spoke and the multitudes marveled. It doesn't say that he was battling all day long. He'd been fasting, you know, for years and like, you know, just struggling with this demon to come out of this guy. Like, I mean, like, it's we, I mean, Jesus did it under his authority. And we have been given that authority. You know, I'm going to read here in a second where it talks about the strong man. And if someone comes stronger than the strong man, it's no problem. I'll get there in a second. So that's what we have. We have access to the name of Jesus that's stronger than any demon. So it's no problem. You cast the devil out and the person gets healed. You don't have to do a counseling session with a demon. Amen? Those, I don't watch them, but there's like all those horror movies about exorcism and all that craziness. Some churches are like that. It's messed up. It's messed up. Just cast the devil out in Jesus' name and carry on. But some said, he casts out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. Others testing him sought from him a sign from heavens. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. And so Jesus here, he's talking about a house divided against itself, kingdom divided against itself, can't stand, it'll fall down, it'll collapse. And he's talking he's basically explaining in the next couple verses how what they're accusing him of, that he's casting out devils through the power of the devil, he basically explains to them that what they're saying makes no sense. And that's absolutely right. I mean, why would Jesus be using the power of the devil to cast out demons? I don't think anybody here thinks that Jesus uses the devil's power to cast out the devil. So I'm not even going to, you know, really go there. But this verse applies to many different settings. You know, that a house divided against itself can't stand. Because there needs to be unity. Even in a church, in order for a church to do what it needs to do, there has to be unity. What were the early believers on the day of Pentecost doing? They were all gathered together, they were praying, and they were with one accord. They had one purpose. They were there, they were in unity. In order for a church to function, there has to be unity. In order for a marriage to function, there has to be unity. Now, some houses, some marriages are divided against each other because there's no unity. There's no purpose. There's no plan of doing something together. You know, my wife and I mean, we're humans, so we have disagreements. If you're married to a human, you're going to have a disagreement. You know, I have to clarify, in 2018, human, because they're coming up with just about any other law that you can marry just about whatever you want. It's messed up. Marry a robot, marry a dog. You know, you want to marry something, they'll do it. Not at River Church.
That's right.
Amen. Inevitably, if you're married to a human, you will have an argument. And so some people, you know, even today, when I have an argument with my wife, the thought comes, don't apologize to her, just stay mad. All right? Being very open and honest with you, as the pastor of your church, I have just as many crazy thoughts that try to come to my mind as maybe some of you. Now, for those of you with the halos above your head and never thought that about your wonderful spouse, you know, your loved ones, you know, maybe one day I'll be at your level. But sometimes when we have an argument, I just want to stay mad at her. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to be the bigger person. I don't want to go and ask for forgiveness and say I'm sorry and so forth. As long as that is the case, a house divided against itself cannot stand, and there's no unity in our marriage. So I'm learning the quicker that we can bring unity. Even if, like, I have to stay up later than I wanted to. I mean, back when I was first married, you know, very ignorant, and I'm still working on things, but, you know, my wife, we would maybe be having a disagreement about something, and it's late at night, and I'm like, well, I'm just going to fall asleep and talk about this in the morning. It does not go well. The next morning, I had completely forgot what we're even talking about, but she wakes up mad because she didn't forget, she didn't get any sleep because I was being such a jerk, which in reality I was. If you want peace in your home, if you want blessing in your home, if you want blessing in your marriage, you have to come together in unity. A house divided against itself can't stand. And you know, it's a sad thing. The divorce rate in the church is so high, even as it is in the world. But even in the world, like, it's so high. It didn't always used to be that way. You know, and people, you know, they think, well, I'll just do my own thing. I'll just do whatever I want to do and hope that my wife agrees with it. You should spend time talking together with your spouse. You should if you got to get a babysitter, if you got to go out, take your spouse out, and you have to talk. Now, guys, let me explain what that means for you. She talks, you listen. That's how it works. And guys, you know the answer to all of their problems, but don't tell them. They don't want to know. They already know, but they just want to talk it all out anyway. And they just want to make sure that you heard them. And they'll whine this way and whine that way and here and there. And eventually, like, by just kind of like helping them just be there to listen, and they start hearing what they're saying and they realize, you know, maybe I'm making a bigger deal out of this than I should. And they solve their own problems. But you don't listen like this, because this is not listening, right? Put this away. Put your phone away. Put your phone away, and then you listen. You look them in the eyes, and you communicate. And look, I understand sometimes you don't feel like it, but what's better? Sitting there and listening and having a successful marriage, or having your marriage fall apart because you didn't want to take the time to listen? You know, today we have so many distractions that come to us from all different angles, from everything that wants to, like, pull your time away from each other. But let me ask you this. If your marriage ended up in disaster, is it worth it to have spent your time watching TV when you could have been, you know, spending time with your wife, spending time with your husband, listening to each other, communicating, just getting to know each other? Is it worth it? You know, I mean, it's sad to have to see people have their whole lives falling apart because they didn't have their priorities right. As much as I love everyone here tonight, my priority before this church and this ministry is my wife. You know, because I realize, and even, you know, I realize that if we can't be married, if the D word ever happens, then we lose this. So it's more important for me to spend the time with my wife. It's more important for me, you know, to take good care of her and to love her than it is for me to even spend time doing what, you know, working in the ministry. And like, I mean, all we think about is how can we further the ministry? How can we do what God's called us to do better? How can we do more of what God's called us to do? That's what we think about. But we've realized that without each other, without having a successful marriage, that all of this goes away. And it's no different for you. I mean, you know, you could have the big house, the big car, the stuff you want, but if your marriage falls apart and now you're fighting for custody for your kids and you get to see them on Tuesday, he gets to have them Monday, and I mean, it's not worth it, right? And I know some people here, you know, you don't have a spouse that's saved or that's in church tonight and you're believing for them to get saved. Well, love them. Love them, love them, love them. Even when they are very unlovable, continue to love them, pray for them, be the best spouse that you can be for them. Let the love of Christ shine through your life, and that will draw them. You know, and that's the solution right there, is that they get drawn to the Lord. Because once they get drawn to the Lord and they have a real relationship with Jesus, if it's a guy, he'll stop being a jerk. If it's a girl, she'll stop disrespecting you. You know, I mean, when you just fall in love with Jesus, those things start to go away. Amen? So make sure there's unity in your marriage. Make sure that before everything else is taken care of, you know, like me, I have that German engineered brain, so I have to like have all my stuff, you know, right, and I'm like making sure everything that I want to do is set to go. But what's more important than all of that is my wonderful wife, that I'm taking care of her. Amen? And it's the same for you and your spouse if you have one. If you don't have one, you can believe God. You can get married. Amen. All right, let's go on to verse 24. When an unclean spirit goes, before I get in there, it's like sometimes, you know, that's what's cool about reading through the Gospels and doing this study. Eventually, you just talk about everything. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to talk about demon possession, then we're going to talk about, you know, somebody getting healed, and then we're going to talk about marriage, and now we're going to go on back to demons and when what they like to do. So, you know what I mean? Like, and then we'll talk about money, because that's what Jesus talks about. You know, I mean, it's just awesome. He covers everything here, you know? So we're just, you know, I know, like, picking, like, just going through the Gospel of Luke doesn't sound that exciting, but eventually you cover everything, you know? All right, verse 24, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of the man is worse than the first. You know, there's some things that you can actually just learn here about the way demons operate. Demons have personality. They like certain things. It says that they were walking through dry places and then it desired to go back. So they have emotion. They have desires. They like to habitate people. They like to associate with, because what they are is they're fallen angels. And so you can see right here that there's a lot of stuff that Jesus says about a demon. He says he's out in the wilderness in the dry places and he's seeking rest. Demons, they want rest. I mean, they're not like humans, but ultimately they are a created being. And this isn't the focus of what I want to talk to, but it's interesting that you read through the Gospels and you can begin to understand certain things. And, you know, most people don't really take into thought this whole spiritual realm that actually exists all around us. You know, we think that when our boss is acting like a turd, that it's just because he's a turd. But really, I mean, he could have like some sort of demon possessed. He's some sort of demon operating on the inside of him. And when he comes in acting like a jerk to you because you're a child of God, it might be a total spiritual thing. You know, so understand that everything isn't always as appears, and there is actually this whole spiritual realm that takes place, and that's why it's important for us to understand the Word and understand our authority over any of that stuff, any demon. Like, we have authority over it. It's not like you have to be scared and you know, hope that we're going to be okay. No, we have authority, the same authority that Jesus walked in, he gave us. Amen? But it says here that this demon spirit, it goes out into the wilderness, and then he's like, man, this is pretty lame out here. Let me get seven of my evil friends, evil demon cohorts, and we're going to come back and make the state of this dude worse than it was ever beforehand. And the way that I understand that is that there are people that sometimes they have a demon leave them, and it's like, oh, this is great. But they don't actually replace that presence with something different, because it says that demon, that he comes back, and he finds this house swept, empty, and garnished, which means like it's all tidy, put together, but there's nothing in there, it's just swept and clean. So if when somebody has a demonic attack in their life, you have to make sure that when that thing goes, that you get Jesus on the inside of them. Because you can go up and you can take authority over someone in the name of Jesus. I set you free. Demon goes out. But unless you say, now pray this prayer with me, and you tell them to repeat, and you go through the sinner's prayer with them, and they receive Jesus, and then you say, now, you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and you get them full of the Holy Spirit. Then when any sort of demonic presence comes back, he knows, hey, I can't mess with this person. Amen? Yeah. All right, now I love this next couple verses here. Like I said, it's kind of like you just go through everything here with Jesus. But it says here in verse 27, and it happened as he spoke these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you. You know, if that ever happened to me, I'm not sure how I would take that. If that's like, is that a compliment or like, man, I don't know, this is just kind of weird. But hey, I mean, this was different times, different social customs. Maybe that's how you greeted somebody back in the day. If you wanted to say, hey, you look nice today, you just tell them, blessed is the womb of your mother and the breasts that nursed you. I don't know. But look, I mean, you can look at me like I'm crazy, but I just read it. It says it. I'm just saying, sometimes it's interesting what's in here. Verse 28, but he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word and keep it. Blessed are those who hear the word and keep it. You know, Jesus couldn't illustrate that point enough in his ministry. It's like over and over again. His mother and his brother show up and they're like, hey, Jesus, your family's here to see you. And he just like, who is my family? Those who hear and do the word of God. Over and over throughout the word, it's like they're time and time again, there is so much emphasis put on hearing the word and keeping the word and doing the word. You want to know what, though? American Christians in 2018, we don't like that. Because that means effort, that means work, that means I have to change, that means I can't just keep doing the same old, it means I can't just like do my own thing and expect that God's going to bless it. It means that I actually have to figure out what God's plan of action for my life is and then do something about it. Like Joshua 1:8. It's a huge key to success. Get the word in. Get it coming out of your mouth. Be a doer of the word, and then you'll make your way prosperous and successful. So, you know, let me just illustrate with money, because money's an easy thing to pick on. You know, we want to believe that Philippians 4:19 is true, and my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, I mean, you could probably ask a sinner to quote that. Because everybody knows that. At least they should. You know, and people get one verse and they're like, well, God says he's going to supply my needs. Praise God, the word is true. God's going to supply my needs. But then they don't actually do the rest of the word in order to make that word come to pass. They don't tithe. And then they're asking God to bless their financial circumstances. You know, I got to have Sori share her testimony. I think she told Julia a couple weeks ago, maybe. I'm going to have you share that this Sunday, but spoiler alert. She basically said that, like, since she came here and started tithing, it doesn't make any sense, but she has more money than she ever did before. Is that right? Is that what you told her? Okay, I don't want to miss say. I'll have you share on Sunday. But I mean, like, you see, tithing doesn't make sense to your mind. But that's why the Bible says we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. Faith comes from hearing the word of God. Faith comes from taking action on the word of God. So as you're like, well, I have this 10% of money that I'm being told to give to God's work, but I really need that 10% to meet my needs. Actually, you probably need more than 10% to meet all of your needs anyway. So you're kind of just better off just giving God 10% and trusting him that he's going to bless your 90%. And it'll go a whole lot further than that extra 10% would have gotten you. But, you know, people... I've had pastors tell me pastors, tell me. Tithing was under the old covenant, and it's under the law. And when Jesus came, he did away with the law. And so we don't need to do that anymore. And it's like, man, don't you even read your Bible? How are you in ministry? How are you in church as a leader? And you don't even know what the word says. It's sad, but that's why you got broke Christians everywhere. You know, and we can come in here and we can, you know, shout hallelujah. We can hang from the chandeliers, jump around the place, raise our hands, shout hallelujah, sing and dance, get out our shofars, open up a portal, and do whatever else kind of, you know, Christian stuff that Christian garbage you want to do. Right? But unless you actually start to take action on the word, your circumstances won't change. You might feel a little bit more like energized or excited or like, you know, pumped up, like this is cool. Blowing the shofar makes me feel really spiritual. I feel really good doing it. But it didn't actually change anything for you. You know what I mean? So God gives you a plan of action in order to get you out of your circumstances, but we would rather just collect the government check because it's easy. We would rather just go to the government cheese line and have them pay for our bills for us because it's easy. But God gives us actions to take. He gives us things to do. You know, I mean, people deal with sickness and they deal with problems. The Bible says that one of the number one cause of sicknesses in our body is sexual immorality. But, you know, you can't preach about sexual immorality in church in 2018 because you'll offend half the church. They'll all leave. Because it's not fun. Because, I mean, where is the fun in that? I want to go out and do my own thing. And I just want to live the way I want to live. And I want to do the hanky-panky. And then I want God to bless me. The word doesn't work like that. You know, and people, you know, you start talking on these lines and, you know, people think you're being religious or old school or whatever. Yes, I agree to being old school, but I'm not being religious. Like, in a second here, hopefully I have time. Hopefully I have time. We'll see just how insulting Jesus got with religious people. And it's all to our benefit. It's all about having our way prosperous and having good success. That's why it says that in Joshua 1:8. If you'll get this word in you, you'll see the path to the blessing. And as you take action on that, you will begin to walk in the blessing. I don't tell people, like, you know, what they can and can't do. The Holy Spirit does a good job of that. You know what I mean? But I feel for people because I see them, I see the enemy taking advantage of them because he keeps them bound by sin. He keeps them bound by sickness. He keeps them bound by anxiety. He keeps them bound by oppression. When all you need to do is find out what this says about your circumstances and then do it. You know, confession is one of those things. Speak the word. It's one of those things, but confession is effort. You know, taking 10 minutes of your morning to just sit there and read through those things, it takes time. Time that you could be watching your favorite television show or whatever else it is that you do. Amen. God gives us the plan to success. God gives us the way out of our mess. And then we come to church, we praise him and we worship him, and by faith we believe that he's going to do it. But then we go out and we live in such a way that it makes it impossible for him to do what he actually wants to do for you. God, you know, 3 John 2, beloved, I pray that above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That's God's will for you. Health and prosperity, blessing, long life, longevity, healing, it's all there. That's why Jesus, over and over and over again, even right here, he's constantly going back to, yeah, my mom's womb is blessed. and her nursing ability is blessed too, but blessed are those who hear and do the word. It's like no matter how you want to talk to Jesus, you can talk about your mom's stuff all you want, but Jesus is just going to turn it around and say like, hey, blessed are those who hear and do the word. Jesus, what are you? We weren't talking about that. We were talking about someone else. Yeah, you're right. But blessed are those who hear and do the word. Jesus, this fish and bread that you just multiply, man, this is some good stuff. Yeah, but blessed are those who hear and do the word. It's like that's what he does. He just goes back to it every time. I think that lady was the first Catholic lady worshiping the Virgin Mary. Told you, I'm going to offend you somehow. Mary's first fan right there. Build the first church. Mary, Mother of the Universe, Mother of God. Let's worship Mary. More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Amen. Blessed are those. Jesus says you will be blessed if you'll hear the word and keep the word. He wants you blessed. Amen? Yeah. Amen. I think I'm running out of time. You know, there's this new translation of the Bible that I'm starting to read. This is not like a full endorsement of it because I don't know everything about it, but I actually kind of like the way it says some things. And so in verse 33, I like this translation, the Passion Translation. If you have the Bible app, that's where I have it. Verse 33, it says, no one would think of like, if you don't have the Passion Translation, then just listen, because like your version will not sound at all like this. But it says, no one would think of lighting a lamp and then hiding it in the basement where no one would benefit. A lamp belongs on a lampstand where all who enter may see it. See its light. The eyes of your spirit allow revelation light to enter into your being. When your heart is open, the light floods in. When your heart is hard and closed, the light cannot penetrate and darkness takes its place. You know, and that's the way that a lot of people are. I mean, because like I read this scripture in the New King James Version. I'm like, I'm trying to figure out what this means. But this has it really helps you like understand what it's talking about. And there are a lot of people that just, no matter what, they're closed to the revelation light. They're closed to the, you know, you tell somebody like how the Lord is blessing you and how you got healed and how you're prospering and you're tithing, all this stuff. And you talk to some people about that stuff and they just look at you like you're crazy. Well, that's because their eyes are full of darkness and they haven't been opened to the gospel. It says in verse 35, open your heart and consider my words. Watch out that you do not mistake your opinions for revelation light. Watch out that you do not mistake your opinions for revelation light. And one thing you notice when you're in ministry is that everyone's got an opinion about everything. Which is why I love the word so much. Because like your opinion can really only go so far before time after time again, the word just proves that it's right and that you're wrong. And you can either conform to the word or you can just keep suffering. If your spirit burns with light, fully illuminated, with no trace of darkness, you will be a shining lamp reflecting rays of truth by the way you live. I don't even really have to talk about this. This version just kind of preached itself for me. But here, all right, I'm going to read this, though, in the New King James, because I like this. It's like extra offensive almost. I mean, that one's like offensive too, but verse 37, we're going to finish this last little section, then we'll close for tonight. And as he spoke, a certain Pharisee asked him to dine with him. That was the Pharisee's first mistake. So he went in and sat down to eat. When the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he did not first wash before dinner. Then the Lord said to him, now you Pharisees make the outside of the cup and dish clean, but your inward parts are full of greed and wickedness. Foolish ones, did not he who made the outside make the inside also, but rather give alms of such things as you have, then indeed all things are clean to you. But woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass by justice and the law of and the love of God. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. All right, we're going to read it in this version too, because I remembered, actually, this is the more offensive version. After Jesus finished saying this, a Jewish religious leader, one of the separated ones, asked him to come for a meal at his home. When everyone had been seated at the table, the religious leader noticed that Jesus hadn't performed the cleansing ritual before he began eating. He was shocked. The Lord said, "You Pharisees are religiously strict to your customs and obsessed with the peripheral issues. You are like one who will wipe clean only the outside of the cup or bowl, leaving the inside filthy. You are foolish to ignore the greed and wickedness within you. Shouldn't the one who cleans the outside also be concerned with cleaning the inside? If you are free in your heart of greed, showing compassion and true generosity to the poor, you have more than clean hands. You will be clean within." You know, and I really like the way that this illustrates this, because basically that's the way religious people really are, and the way they treat people is they're all shiny and cleaned up on the outside, but on the inside, they're just full of wickedness. They're full of junk. They're full of filthy dirtiness. What were you telling me the new lawsuit is? You don't have to look it up. Huh? Right? What is it? The abuse rate. Didn't you tell me something ridiculous? How many priests? So in Pennsylvania, just find out, the new lawsuit taking place is over 1,000 kids abused by priests. 300 priests. Whatever. That's it. They're investigating. I mean, it's so messed up. I think you were the one that said this, that sinners, unbelievers, they view Christians in general as the church. So most of them wouldn't distinguish like the Catholic Church from our church. They probably think I'm one of them sickos, but I'm not. You know, but that's the problem. I mean, like, you know, you can stand up there with your vest on or whatever the robe on, shake your smoker around the room, do all the stuff that you want to do, but then you go behind closed doors and you're messing with little boys? That's what the scripture's talking about. And that's the way religion is. That is, huh? The priest who baptized my wife was apparently under investigation as well. I mean, it's just sickening. It's not the way that it's supposed to be. But, you know, religious people are great about making the outward look all nice and shiny and great and sounding religious, and they can say the right things and say the cliches, but on the inside, full of wickedness. It's wrong. Verse 42, "You Pharisees are hopeless frauds." This is, you know, see, this is Jesus talking. Red letter edition. Jesus talking. You know, so people just think that, you know, like I always point out on the picture, the creepy stained glass in the back there, Jesus holding the lamb. That's like everyone's idea of who Jesus is. But when I think about Jesus, I think of him like rebuking some religious moron. "You Pharisees are hopeless frauds." I should go around to like, I'm going to start a new ministry based on what Jesus did, and I'm just going to go around to ministers and say, "Hey, you're a hopeless fraud. I rebuke you in the name of the Lord. Amen." And then just leave. Okay. For you are obsessed with peripheral issues like paying meticulous tithes on the smallest herbs that grow in your gardens. These matters you should do. Yet, when you unjustly cheat others, you ignore the most important duty of all, to walk in the love of God. Readjust your values and place first things first. Isn't that awesome? You know, I mean, he agreed with tithing. He said, yes, you should tithe, but that's not the most important thing. Because even if you're here tonight and you tithe off of $1 million and put $100,000 in the offering, unless you do things according to the Word of God and you have your heart right and you're not doing things wickedly, it doesn't matter. That's why Jesus says over and over, you have to hear and do the Word. Amen? This is funny. You are nothing but hopeless frauds, you experts of religion. You take away from others the key that opens the door to the house of knowledge. Not only do you lock the door and refuse to enter, you do your best to keep others from the truth. Then the religious leaders and experts of the law became enraged and began to furiously oppose him. They harassed Jesus all the way out of the door, spewing out of their hostility, arguing everything that he said, wanting nothing more than to find a reason to entrap him with their own words. It's what religion does. Religion has no love, no compassion, no power. It just tries to bind people. But Jesus came to set people free, amen? Jesus came to bring liberty. That's why he said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I don't know about you, but when I began serving God with all my heart, and every step that I take in action according to the Word, my life gets easier, my life gets better, I have less worries, I have less anxiety, right? You know, people think that like living the worldly lifestyle is just so appealing and so great. But maybe if you woke up tomorrow, you know, hoping that the DNA test of that child didn't come back proving that you're the father, you would be thinking a little bit differently. You know what I mean? The world, what it has to offer, will destroy your life. No matter how appealing it looks like from the outside, I mean, you look at, you know, Hollywood lifestyle and guys getting all the girls and driving around in the cars and all that stuff. Like, it looks so enticing. And the world does such a, the devil does such a good job of making the world look enticing. But when you partake of that fruit, it's just like Eve. When she took of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, she lost all that wonderful Garden of Eden, was cast out and never allowed back in. I mean, like, when you, we have such good things that that our Heavenly Father has given us, and all He's asking us to do is to believe Him, to trust Him, to walk according to the Word, and then He will take care of all of our needs. He will supply, fill to the full your every need. We are self-sufficient through Christ. I mean, everything that we need, we have the greater one living on the inside of us. Amen. Amen? Hallelujah. So that's the thing. God has given us rich blessings. But it requires action on our part. Not here, but outside of this church, outside of all of you saints, we don't like taking action on the Word. We like doing our own thing. Like that verse said, like, you know, people, they think their opinions are what matter. You know, there's so many times where, you know, people come up to me and they tell me what the Lord told them, and they tell me their opinion of this thing and that thing. And I could so easily just be like, really? Then why does the Word say this, this, and this? That, like, basically tells that if I were to actually do that, would basically tell them you're wrong and you're an idiot. But I don't do that. You know, I just let people, oh, wow, that's great. Man, the Lord told you that. That's, hey, great. Tell me how that works out. Tell me how that works out. Amen? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you are raising up a group of victorious believers who are taking action on your word. I thank you that you've called this church, that you've called these people to be victors, that you've called them to go from victory to victory, from blessing to blessing, from faith to faith, from glory to glory. I thank you that as we take action on your word, that you bless all the works of our hands, that as we speak your word, that we create our future according to your word and your power. God, I thank you that no demon in hell has power over us, but that through the name of Jesus, which you've given us the permission and authority to use, I thank you that no demon in all of hell has any power or authority over us, but that we can easily defeat any attack of the enemy that comes against us by doing your word, by speaking your word, by taking action on what you've told us to do. In Jesus' name, I thank you that this church is blessed, that every single one of these people here are blessed as they take action on your word. And if you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I love it. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. It's like he's given you a treasure map. Over here is this huge stack pile of gold, and all you got to do is follow the map, and I'll take you right there. Now, what most people do is they say, like, yeah, but I think I can get there by going this way, or I think I could, it looks like I could do it if I went this way, and they go off on their own way. And hopefully they figure out, maybe I should have just stuck with the map. Hopefully you can bring them back in and be like, no, you just do it this way. It's old school, but it works. There are so many blessings that when you choose to take action on God's word. And you know, I understand people start out places. You know, maybe for you tonight, tithing sounds like crazy. You want me to give 10% of my money to the church? Well, I mean, I don't. But the word says that when you do that, you'll be blessed. For the sake of your prosperity, I would say yes. Amen? So for somebody, tithing might be like a huge mountain. Like, man, there's no way that I'd be able to do that. But then there's people here tonight that have been tithing for 20 years, and maybe like they're thinking like, man, maybe I should go from 10% to 11%, or from 11% to 15%, you know, and like start believing God to do bigger and more. So people are at different levels, and I understand that. So if you're here and you're like, man, this is a lot of stuff that I got to go to work on, the important thing is that you just go to work on something. Find out. Get in here and find out where you're missing it in one area of your life, and then just begin to work on that and take action on that. And find out like what's most important to you. Like, hey, maybe your health is the most important thing to you. So figure out what God's plan of action is concerning your health. Maybe your finances are a mess and you need to figure out what's God's plan of action for my finances. You know, so I understand people are different situations, different circumstances. Figure out the plan of action and begin to do that. Amen?
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.